Let's just take a moment to settle in. Get yourself in a comfortable spot. And for the next little while, we're going to be learning about mindfulness of the body in the body. Now, we've already begun to practice that a bit in our first meditation last night, the body scan. What we were doing is we were leading you through, us through, just paying attention to the body and allowing ourselves just to connect with each body part and letting the breath maintain our attention there. Now, when we do that, a lot of things happen. Sometimes nothing happens. But one of the things, particularly when we do the body scan late in the evening, is people begin to connect with the actual level of fatigue they're feeling. Now, I've let myself down because there was no snoring. And there has to be at least one snore this retreat before I'll feel comfortable with me. But the other things that happen is that we begin to connect with recognizing that when I bring my attention to a particular body part, often there's really nothing I'm sensing at all. And that's okay. And then what happens is those cognitive processes we developed around age 2 or 3 begin to kick in. And because we're doing this as a practice of being with yourself in your own body, we begin to ask ourselves, shouldn't I be feeling something? So we begin to not be in the body. We begin to thinking about being in the body. And then we come back. And we continue. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, we connect to a subtle discomfort we didn't know was there until we actually begin to connect to it. And as the process goes on, we're beginning to lots of things often are happening. We are beginning to connect with the breath and the body. Sometimes we settle into just letting the breath take us to the body part and just noticing what there is to notice and being comfortable if there's nothing to notice. Sometimes, because we don't do this very often, boredom sets in, and it becomes harder to keep our attention on the body. So it becomes a practice, it becomes a disciplined a relationship with our body that we're coming back to it time after time if we continue doing this meditation. And each time we're doing this, we're practicing being just there in our body, just as it is, bringing our attention just to what is. And so what we're doing in that is we're remembering what it was like to be an infant before at age 2 we began to make demands on people. And at age 4, boy, were we demanding. So we're learning what it's like to be an infant, because at that point we were totally connected to our body, and we were in the body. We could only express what the body was telling us, typically with a screaming demand, but we were noticing that we knew when we were hungry. We didn't have to ask ourselves, am I hungry? We knew what it was like to feel wet and know that it was uncomfortable. We knew how agitated we got if we were hungry or just before we were going to sleep as we were making those transitions. So we knew what our body needed in a particular way that allows us to make demands on caregivers to attend to it, because at that time we weren't capable of doing that. But we also knew that there were things that were soothing. That, for instance, a warm touch, and it's common among all mammals, a warm touch was soothing. Being in swaddling material, being wrapped, made us feel comfortable. So we begin to connect with the body in the body, and then we begin to lose it. So now most of us think for a living, or at least we pretend to. Sometimes with not much success, but in any event, most of us think for a living. And once we've done that, what we do is we don't give precedence to the body. The body is something that interferes what we have with what we have to do, as opposed to informs us about what we need to do. So what you're doing is you're beginning to connect to practices here as a beginning that bring you back to that sense of being mindful of the body in the body. So walking meditation reminds you that as you're walking, each step is conscious, and you notice what happens when you're walking slowly, and there's not a fluid flow to it. It's when we begin to recognize that when I'm not really paying attention to the body in the body, I stumble. If the ground's a bit rough. And so, then again, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing that? As opposed to, so that's what happens. When I slow it down and it's not automatic anymore, I begin to stumble. When I eat in a gathering but not being social when I eat, I taste what I eat. Sometimes I say, wow, I didn't know I would like that. And sometimes I say, oops, wrong choice. But I have an opportunity to bring myself to my body in the body. Now, why is that so important? I mean, we are nominally cognitive creatures, and our thinking brain, which we'll talk about a lot later from now, is really what we depend on. But in fact, as you get older, and I am, I recognize, again, so infancy and elderly, the body really tells me what's necessary. And so we spend so much time trying to bypass being in the body that we begin to lose contact with it. So we invite you, essentially as a practice, to recognize that you're being with your body for the next few days. Remember, it is in charge of you. And also begin to remember that what it tells you as it's beginning to whisper at you is really, really important. Now, when we're doing the body scan and we're beginning to pick up those subtle hints from our body that something's happening. Sometimes we get a hint that something is not quite what I thought it was. I mean, we often feel that fatigue that we really weren't allowing ourselves to feel. And again, I do feel that not having anybody snore is a comment on my confidence, but we won't go there. So, but you recognize that when you have that level of fatigue, it's been there, you just haven't noticed. That pain that actually emerged when you bring brought your attention to, for instance, your lower back or your shoulders, was there. The causes and conditions that created it were there, but bringing your attention to it said, oh, I didn't know. So it's really important, not that we are going to do anything about it, remember, just paying attention to it, but it's a piece of information that only the body can give you. This is what's happening to me. This is what's happening to me right now. It's telling me what I need. And I put that off. And I do, we all do. I put that off. And often if I put it off too long, what pops up is not terribly pleasant. So we're beginning to take care of that body. We're noticing what it needs. And we're doing that starting now. And so we're really focusing on understanding the body and the body so that when we walk away from here a few days from now, we'll continue to recognize that we need to do that. So we also, in this whole process, have a number of very subtle ways that we can actually use mindfulness to distract us from being what we think is mindfulness, to distract us from being with the body in the body. So for instance, I can use my breath, we can all use our breath, to make the pain seem like it's going to go away. We can relax around it. And that works very well. But we also can also avoid acknowledging it because we can use the breath to have us not actually experience the tension in the body that's associated appropriately with the pain. So the only stories I have to tell are ones on myself, so I'll tell those. So some time ago, a couple of years ago actually, I had something called an arthritic flare. And what that is an extremely painful joint pain that it really permeates your entire body. I didn't know they existed until I had one. And the cause of that is essentially the cartilages in both my knees are gone. So next month I'm going to have one of those corrected. But what we all try to do is we try to find some way to manage it, and that's appropriate. But it's also important to know it's telling me something about my body that needs attention. And so I happen to be in some place, it doesn't really matter where, and another mindfulness teacher was telling me and saying to me, and it doesn't really matter who, that this is really important and I think I know a way to make that pain go away. Now, who wouldn't want to make the pain go away? So, we began to go through the practices of meditation that he uses. And disappointingly for both of us, the pain didn't really mitigate very much. Now, what he thought was that I wasn't doing it right. What I thought was, I don't have any cartilage, how can I do it right? It's going to hurt. So this is not about making it go away. This is about being with it as it is. So the solution to that is not breathing. That helps, but the solution to that is being able to notice what I need, which is surgery, and then taking the action to do what I can do, recognizing there's absolutely no perfect fix. So it's not about avoiding pain, it's about being informed by it. It's not about avoiding it, it's about being informed by it. So the stuff that's happening inside my body that informs me is called interoception. It's being recorded, so you don't have to write it down. And what that is that all that information, that if we pay attention to it carefully, will actually inform us about the status of our well-being in our physical body. Heart rate, breathing, pain, a variety of other things. Actually, if I feel hot or cold, will tell me something about my stress level. All of those things inform us about exactly what do I need to do in order to live more in balance with where I am. What you're learning through your walking meditation is called proprioception. And what that is where am I in space? And so, for instance, just because when you're, many of you may already know this, it's all new to me, when you lose the cartilage in your knees, the tendons don't contract so that your knee is still solid. As a matter of fact, your knee gets very loose. It's not going to fall out of its joint, but it slips around a bit. And so proprioception for me when I'm walking on uneven ground is really interesting. It's quite a challenge. Because I can constantly feel myself out of balance. And maybe you felt that when you were doing some of the walking. I don't know. So proprioception tells me where I am in space. And what happens when I get nervous, when I actually try to overcorrect that knee, which I used to be able to move fairly solidly, so if I move this way, it went this way. Now if I move this way, it follows me after a while. When I move that knee, I have to be extremely careful of where I am in space, or I'll overcorrect as it catches up with me. So I feel like, I look like I'm a bit swaying. I look a bit drunk, actually, but that's not what's happening. It's my knee, I promise. So ultimately, what's happening is that I'm connecting in space in a much more conscious way, and that's proprioception. Now, if I get upset about that, which increases my heart rate, then interestingly enough, it becomes harder for me to make that connection, and I'm much more likely to be more unstable. And so the training, what you're doing is you're connecting with being aware of what's happening without judging. Remember the exercise, remember the body scan. Bringing your attention to your knee, allowing yourself to connect with what's the notice, and being okay if there's nothing to notice. The gentle acceptance of what you're experiencing, the actual interoception, interestingly enough, allows you to deal better with being out of balance proprioception in space. Now we have a fascinating colleague who does this sort of stuff for elite athletes. And so what she does is she has a whole bunch of apparatus. It's kind of neat, but that's not important. She trains them to be very, very aware of interoception. And then she allows them to do mindfulness, a variety of things. It's not just mindfulness, but being able to recognize that this is really, really important. The breath conditions the body. Recognizing I begin to use my breath, I can actually alter interoception. I can alter my heart rate, for instance. And it allows me to be better able to connect with my position in space. Now, she does this with elite aerial skiers, which is a lot different from my stumbling around. And so what she does is she gets them to connect with their internal signals to tell them they're becoming aroused, calm that so they can pay more attention to where they are in space. And that's quite important if you're high in the air and about to come back down. So one of our athletes won the first gold in Vancouver. So this is an important sense of recognizing why we want to be in the body, why it's necessary to be in the body. It doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to do something if it's painful. Sometimes that's necessary. If I don't exercise my thighs, then the surgery is not going to be terribly useful because I won't be strong enough to recover. So I have to do that. It hurts. It doesn't hurt a lot, but it's uncomfortable. It doesn't mean I'm going to avoid discomfort. It means that I am taking a conscious decision to accept both the benefits and the cost of that discomfort. If I exercise fairly vigorously, it's going to hurt for a couple of days, a bit more than it did. But if I don't exercise fairly vigorously, pretty regularly, then it's going to cost me a lot more later. So what we're learning to do is we're learning to actually connect just with what the body's saying, and then what we're doing is we're learning to have a disciplined talk. Most often, if I really start paying attention to the body, it's telling me to do things that I probably should attend to. If during a body scan in an evening I find myself going to sleep, that doesn't tell me to have more coffee. It tells me to get some sleep. If I'm at work at my desk and I can feel my back pain, that doesn't say to help take a Tylenol, it says get up and walk. All these things that we've lost because we can tell ourselves, and almost always tell ourselves in a terribly harsh way, I can't give in to this. We're now learning that we recognize that we've got to have a much more decent relationship with it. It isn't that I can't give in to it, it's that I really need to listen to what it's saying because it's important. It's not just about knowing where we are in space, it's about knowing where we are in almost everything we do in life. It's connecting to what we're able to actually enjoy, to savor. And that's really, really important because once you're here, what you're doing is you're connecting with a process like this. You have the opportunity to walk slowly and notice. Lynette led you in another version of paying attention to the sensations just a few minutes ago. You have an opportunity when you're eating, and mindful eating, to savor the food, to see, is this something I really like? Have I tasted it like this before? What happens to the flavor if I don't use sugar? How many cups of coffee do I really need to feel like I'm awake? We begin to connect with what the body's really saying to us, as opposed to, again, having a cognitive overlay that indicates that what it's actually saying, I can't afford to hear. Because, whatever. So that's really, really important. It's really important to be able to connect with what the body's saying, understand that it's saying things that are incredibly important. It's a matter, not necessarily of life and death, but it's a matter of how we spend our life. Now, I'd love to say that I have this mastered, okay? I'm always a work in progress. And so I'll give a sense of a time. I wish I say the tendencies in the far distant past. The event is a bit in the past. The tendency is still here. It's always a work in progress. So you recognize that the breath conditions the body. So that can be both a benefit and a curse. It's a benefit because in small doses, it allows you to settle in, pay attention to the body, and make a good decision about how you're going to deal with it. In big doses, what it can do is engage systems that override good decisions. So, I'm getting old, so time has collapsed for me now. I think it was about 10 or 15 years ago. I had some surgery that was supposed to take out a polyp that might have been precancerous in my colon. Before the surgery, I didn't let myself think about it, and so I went into it, and after the surgery, I thought about it a lot. It wasn't a lot of fun. Got the polyp out, everything was okay. The surgeon, the guy who did the initial investigation, said, I want to see you in 6 months. Why don't you want to do that? So 6 months later, he takes me in, we do the same thing. He looks at it and he said, they got the wrong polyp. So here we go again. Now, since I'm the only male in the room, I will out myself. I do not like to show that I'm scared. Okay? I don't want to let people think that I'm tense. And early in my practice, I recognized the breath could regulate my pulse rate, it can regulate my blood pressure, it can regulate almost any of those internal systems that say, Frank, this is not a good idea. So I was doing that. I didn't want to let anybody know how tense I was about this, because what would that look like? Of course, if any of you are medical professionals, who cares? Just say it, just do it, don't worry about it. Because really, in the grander scheme of things, my being a little tense was not terribly difficult for them to manage. But we all do things like this. We all say, okay, I've got this new tool that allows me to bypass what's actually going on in my body. But the body always wins. And so they're wheeling me down to surgery, and just as I'm about to get up and go onto the table, I pass out. And the reason I passed out is my body said, you are not connecting realistically to where you are. So I'm going to show you. And no matter how much I didn't want this to happen, I passed out. Now, there are a lot of reasons for it. It wasn't life-altering and it wasn't life-threatening, but it just wouldn't do it anymore. I held everything in, using my breath to bypass what was going on? And sort of said, I don't think so. So they took me to the table anyway. I mean, I was already out. And lying flat, everything that had crashed came back to normal. And they continued the surgery. Now, I'll probably tell you I learned a big lesson with that. That would tell you not so much. So we all continue to do this. And so the other thing we want to do is to look at it like this. You're learning things in this week that you're going to continually fail at. We all do. And so you treat this with a sense of gentleness. This is a lifetime practice because it's a lifetime of work to begin to connect with ourselves in an honest, authentic way, particularly when it comes to our body. We often don't like what our body has to tell us. We often don't like who we are when we have to respond to the body in a way that honors it. We often try to connect with some way to avoid having to deal with the reality of where we are. And sometimes mindfulness is seen as the magic that can let us do that. But mindfulness of a body tells us it's not. Mindfulness in the body says we are physical creatures, and in the very final analysis is our body and how our body is reacting to where we are. It tells us what we can do with where we are. Everything else is commentary. The signals our body gives us, the things we pay attention to during a body scan, during walking meditation, during mindful eating, during the other exercises we'll be doing. The basic practices is the practice of attending to the body and honoring its message. Letting ourselves connect to exactly where we are. When we are. So perhaps now, what we can do is I can lead you through a very brief body scan, allowing just to connect to the body, and perhaps seeing if it's possible to just begin noticing, not commenting, not being critical, just noticing. Bringing your awareness to your breath. Just letting the breath breathe itself. And on an out breath, just bringing your awareness to your toes, the toes of both feet. Noticing the sensations that are present there. And also being okay if there's nothing to notice. Shifting your awareness to the tops of your feet. noticing. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to the bottoms of your feet. Just letting your attention stay there. Mind wanders, just bringing it back. On an out-breath, shifting your attention to your calves and shins. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to your knees. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to your thighs. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to your hips. Bringing your awareness to your abdomen and perhaps feeling it move with the breath. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to your lower back. And maybe noticing if there's tension there or not. Shifting your awareness to your chest. Perhaps noticing rising and falling. And maybe noticing the heart as it's beating. Perhaps being able to sense that as well. Bringing your awareness on an out-breath to your upper back. Next out-breath, letting your awareness shift to your shoulders and again noticing if there's any tension there. Letting an out-breath shift your awareness to the tips of your fingers and your hands. Bringing your awareness on an out-breath to your lower arms. And upper arms. Letting an out-breath bring your awareness to your throat and neck. And perhaps also noticing the breath as it moves in and out. Bringing your attention to that, if it's present. Bringing your attention to the back of your head. And just, on an out-breath, shifting your attention just to your face, just allowing your breath let you explore your face to see what sensations are to notice there. And bringing your attention to your forehead. And also notice sometimes that's a place where stress resides. And then imagining being able to breathe all the way through your body. And letting a deep in-breath come from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. And just feel the body settle into that breath. A long out-breath from the tips of your toes to the top of your head. And just paying attention to your body as you go through that period of deep in-breath, long out-breath, and noticing just noticing. When you're ready, just letting go of that experience. Perhaps spending a moment or two reflecting on what it was like during that very short experience. And when you're ready, opening your eyes. So that's a nice way to check in regularly. I did it for a few minutes. You can do it for less or more. The internal script is quite simple. You scan the body.